This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruch Hama Bam, welcome everyone. We continue in Daf HaShavua. We're learning Daf Mem Vav Amar Aleph in Daf HaShavua. Let's begin with Mem Hei Amar Beis on the bottom. Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav. Rav Chama Bar Gurya said the name of Rav. Haloi Keach Eved Min Ha'Eved Koi Chavim. One who buys a slave from a Gentile. Now, when you buy a slave from a Gentile, he's not just your slave. He is undergoing a partial conversion. Namely, he begins to be chayiv in some mitzvah. She's chayiv in mitzvahs like an isha. When you free him, then he undergoes a full conversion. Now, the first conversion, he goes to the mikvah. And not only that, he also has a milah. It's an amazing thing. You buy an Eved Kenani and he has milah, and he has tefillah, but the tefillah is only a partial gerus. The tefillah renders him an Eved Kenani, that he's chayiv in mitzvah ke'isha. Then when you want to free him, then you render him then he undergoes a full-fledged conversion, and he becomes a Yisrael l'chol davar. So someone who buys an Eved from a goy, and now, he's undergoing a partial conversion. His tefillah is only partial. However, if the Eved has in mind that he's toivel not to become an Eved Kenani, but to become a Ben Chayrin, v'kadam v'tovel Hashem Ben Chayrin, and he jumps ahead and he's toivel to be free, kana atzmai Ben Chayrin. He buys himself free. My taima, what's the reason? How is he allowed to do that? The answer is, oivid koi chavim gufa loy kanilei. The guy who owned him previously did not own his body. In other words, the guy who sold him did not own his guf. What did he own? He owned his work. So what did he sell? He sold his work. That which he owned is what he gives over. Demaknei Yisrael. Now, so right now he's not giving over his guf, he's just giving over rights of work to him, on him. So, in that case, v'kivan d'kadam v'taval l'shem ben chayrin, since the slave jumps and advances and is toival to be free, afke l'shibudei, he nullifies the shibud. In other words, what the Oyved Koi Chavim has on his slave is a shibud. He doesn't have ownership, he has a shibud. What he's giving over is a shibud. Now, once the Jew is toivel the Eved Kenani, through the tefillah gufay konile. But if the Eved Kenani is toivel to go free, he's going to go free because the freedom supersedes the shibud. It overcomes the shibud. It's like, in other words, what the guy has on the Eved is a lien. So the tevila l'shem ben chayrin overcomes the lien. That is what the logic of the Gemara. And the Gemara says a very important halacha. And what's interesting is ma mishnah geya to Pesach. Kedarava. Da amar Rava. Rava said, hektish. If let's say you're makdish something, this is going on a case of, Rashi says, an apotiki. An apotiki is where the debtor says that if I default on the loan, then you're going to collect from this item. Apo tehei koi, that stands for. So the halacha is that if the debtor, in the meantime, is makdish the item, and then he ends up defaulting, the item remains hektish. The hektish supersedes the shibud. In other words, the creditor can't say, well, I'm allowed to collect from here. No. The hektish is chal, and there's nothing you could do to take it out of hektish. What else supersedes a shibud? Chametz. In other words, if you rendered chametz in apotiki, you said, if I don't pay you back, you're going to collect these rice, honey nut Cheerios. So then, if Pesach comes and they become asur bahana, so the creditor cannot collect from that chametz. So here we see that inyan that chametz is moitzi midei shibud. So if you designate chametz to be to a guy, and you kept the chametz in your rishus, and the Pesach and Pesach came, since the chametz is still in the rishus of the yid, so as soon as Pesach comes, it becomes aser bahana, and the lien is gone. And what else dissolves the lien? And v'shichror, freeing an eved, mafkiin midei shibud. In other words, if you say to a guy that this eved kanani is going to be an apotiki, and then you are meshachrer the eved, he becomes a free man, so the right of the creditor in this eved is dissipates. So what do we see from here? That the freedom of an eved dissipates the alin. Likewise, even though the Yisrael is buying the lien from the goy, if the eved advances and goes to the mikvah to become a free person, so the halacha is the freedom dissolves the lien. That's the idea, because the only thing the goy is giving to the Jew is what? A lien. But he's not giving ownership. If he was giving gufay, so then if the eved would be meshachrer himself, he can't remove the ownership of the body by freeing himself. But since he is not owned legufa, he's only owned as a shibud, by going to the mikvah, l'shem ben chayren, he could dissolve that. So now the Gemara asks on Rav's halacha. Again, Rav's halacha is, if you buy an eved from Avikai Chavim, and he's tava l'shem ben chayren, kana atzmai ben chayren. Masiv Rav Chizda asked, Masa Bibloria Hagioris is a story with Bloria the convert, Shekadmu Avadeha Vitavlu Lefaneha, and her Avadim went ahead and they were Toivol before her. In other words, there's a woman, Bibloria, and Bibloria, and she was in the middle of converting, and she had servants who were converting as well. And the servants converted before her, before she became a Jew. And Ubama, and they were converting to go free. Ubama, by the way, these avadim that jump and become free, they still owe money to the owner, because the owner bought them, and they're being mafsid the owner, so they're going to have to pay the owner the value that they made them lose out. However, even though you're going to have to pay, but you have that right to go free. So what happened was the Avadim advanced and they went free. So what's the halacha? Ubamasal bnei chacham, the story came before the rabbis, v'amru kanu atzma bnei chayren. The rabbis said they go free. That implies, you know why they go free? Because they were toivel before Beloria converted herself. Lefaneha in, only because they went before her, l'achre aloi, but not if they would have gone after her, which implies if Bloria would have converted and then the Avadim would have converted, they wouldn't have a right to go free. They only have a right to go free because an Oyve Kechavim can never own the guf of another Oyve Kechavim, but a Yisrael who could own the guf of an Oyve Kechavim, then if Bloria would have, if the Avadim would have tried to immerse to go free, it wouldn't have happened. Amar Rava, Rava said, no, that's not how to read it. Lefaneha, if the Avadim converted before Bloria, bein bestam bein meforesh, whether their intention was unqualified or whether they said they're doing it to go free, they're going to go free. Le'achreha, however, afterwards, if they would have done it afterwards, then Rav is right that they could be toivel to go free, but only b'mafurosh, only if they explicitly say they're being toivel to go free, but b'stam lie. But if they don't specify, then they don't go free. Okay. Meaning the logic of this is it's only going to allow you to go free if that was your kavana. So if the avadim are converting before their master, we could assume that was their kavana. If they're converting after their master, then it's only if they say that that's what their kavana is. Okay. Let us continue. Says the Holy Gemara. Amar Rav Avya. Rav Avya said, Lo yishanu ela b'loy kech min avi kechavim. This was only taught that a goy cannot own a goy. That's when you buy from a Gentile. Meaning, they only said that if a Jew bought from a guy. However, that if a Jew buys from a guy, the Jew does not own the body until the guy immerses. But if the guy sells himself to be a slave to a Jew, then the Jew does acquire the ownership of the guy's body, and if he's then toivel l'shem ben chayrim, it will not be effective. Yeah? It will not be effective. So, again, says the Gemara, but if the guy sells himself, kani. Why? How do I know a guy, if he sells himself, you will own his body? The pasuk says, and also among the children of the residents that live with you, from them you could acquire. From among the children of the residents who live with you, you could acquire. Which implies, atem koinim ehem. You Jews could acquire slaves from goyim. V'loihem koinim ehem, but they cannot acquire slaves from you. V'loihem koinim zemizem, they can't acquire slaves from one another. So we see that even though a Jew could own a goy can't own a Jew. V'loihem koinim ehem lamai. Now what does it mean they can't own you? Ilem lamasi yadav, it means they can't own your labor. That's not true. A guy could own the labor of a Jew. A guy cannot own a Jew to own his handiwork, to own his labor. But the pasuk says, or if someone is sold to le'eker, an avodah zarah of a family of a ger, of a sojourner. What does that mean? V'amar mishpachas ger. What does mishpachas ger mean? Ze'oivei kachavim. It says that a Jew who sold to a family of a guy. So we see that at the very least, a guy can own a Jew l'masa yadav. So what does it mean a guy cannot own a Jew? Elalav l'gufei. That a guy cannot own the guf of a Jew. But a guy can own the guf of a Jew. V'kam rachmana atem koinem ayam. You can own them. Afilu l'gufei, even for their guf. So a Jew could own a guy. So if that's the case, if a Jew could own a guy, so when a guy sells himself, you have the rights of ownership, even, and therefore, if you own his guf, and he's toivel Hashem ben chayren, then that would not be effective, because you already own his guf. That is the din of Rabbi Avia. So Gemara asked in that, Parach Rabbi Avia said, it's true, we see from here, the pasuk teaches that a Jew could be koina a guy, but maybe ema b'chaspo v'tfila, maybe that's only if you pay for it, and he's toivel l'shem avdus. But maybe if he's not toivel l'shem avdus and he wants to jump ahead and be toivel l'shem ben choyren, then you don't own the body. So Gemara says kasha, you're right? It's not 100% indicative. Okay. Now, this is actually one of my favorite Gemaras for the Haggadah. Be'emes, be'emes. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, we just said that if a guy who is being bought by a Jew wants to jump in the mikveh and be toivel l'shem, ben chayrin he'll go free. So how do you ensure that he's not toivel l'shem ben chayrin? Amar Shmuel, v'tzach l'takva b'mayim. You have to hold him down in the water, exert authority over him in the water. That indicates that whatever his kavana is, it doesn't matter, because you are indicating that you're being toivel him l'shem avdos. Ki hai de minyamin avdei de Rav Ashi, like minyamin, the slave of Rav Ashi, boila atbule, he needed immersion. Masri nehalayo l'ravino l'racha brei de Rava. Rav Ashi handed him. So what happened? Minyamin, the slave Rav Ashi, needed to go to the mikvah. Rav Ashi bought him. Masri ne'alayla Ravina Ravacha b'ed Rava. So Rav Ashi handed him over to Ravina and Ravacha, the son of Rava. Amar Lui said to them, Chazu si, deminaychu kabasle. I'm going to demand him from you. If you ruin this tevila, it's going to be on you. If you're not careful and you let him be toivel l'shem ben chayrim and I lose him, I'm going to blame you. So you better make sure that he's toivel l'shem avdus. So what did they do? Ramule arvisa b'tzarei. They put a leash around his neck. Arpulei v'tzamtzulei. They loosened it and they squeezed it. Says Gemara, Arpulei, they loosened it, otherwise it's a chatzitza. Ki heched olei l'ha v'chatzitza, so it shouldn't be a chatzitza. Tzamtzulei, they tightened it. Ki heched olei l'kadem, so that he doesn't advance. V'leima l'shem ben choyer nani toivol. And say, I'm toivol to be free. So they had to keep it loose. They had to loosen it so that it wouldn't be a chatzitza, but they had to tighten it to exert authority. Bahade didole reisha mamaya, as he raised his head up from the water, anchile zota detina reisha, they put a pail of cement on his head. Amrile, they said, zil amte lebe marach, go bring this to your master. They exerted authority over him while he was still in the mikvah. Asks the Hilag Ibn Yisaschar, why is it that there are only two mitzvahs I say in the Torah that if you don't fulfill it, you're chayiv kares? You don't put on tefillin, you're not chayiv kares. You don't send the sukkah, you're not chayiv kares. You don't say kriyashma, you're not chayiv kares. You don't eat karban pesach, you're chayiv kares. You don't do bris milah, you're chayiv kares. What's the pshat? Says the Bnei Yisaschar, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, he was freeing us as avadim. But the purpose was to transition us from avdei paroi to being avdei Hashem. Well, what if in the transition period we would say, Ribon Shalom, we're being toivel l'shem ben chayrin. You got us out of Mitzrayim, and we're out of here. We're going to free. We're going to Disneyland. So Ribon Shalom, so to speak, is one Adoin buying an Eved from a different Adoin. So what does Adoin B have to do while he's freeing the Eved from Adoin A? You have to put zulta detina reisha. You have to exert authority. So Hashem had to give us two mitzvahs that demonstrate that we ain't going free, that we're being transitioned from one Adoin to another. So what makes us Yidin is Pesach and Mila. Without Pesach and Mila, then we don't have to keep any of the mitzvahs. So that's why those two mitzvahs have a chiyuv kares. It's a nice one. Okay. While we're on the topic of the Haggadah, on that question, I want to tell you over a Lev Aryeh, one of the oldest classic Sifrei Drush is a Lev Aryeh. Chida quotes it very often. And he says, a Gevaldiga Lamdas. We know that the night of Yitzis Mitzrayim, the Rebbe Hashem wanted to give Klal Yisrael mitzvahs because we were Eirom Ve'arya. So how is he going to give us mitzvahs? He's going to give us Pesach and Mila. But the thing is, Schar B'Hayah Malekah. There's no reward in this world, so how's it going to help to give us mitzvahs? We'll be rewarded in Olam Haba, but we need reward now in Olam Hazeh. Now, even though Schar B'Hayah Malekah, says the Lev Aryeh, Oinesh B'Hayah Ma'ika, there's punishment in this world. There's Malkus, there's Kares. Any mitzvahs asay that have any mitzvah, so that Lev Aryeh says like this, since there's punishment for Lavin in this world, there has to be reward in this world for not violating Lavin, because otherwise it's not fair. So even though there's no reward for mitzvahs, there is reward for not violating Lavin. Therefore, Hashem gave us the mitzvah of Pesach and Mila. Why? But we're not going to get reward in this world. Now we do. Since if we violate it, there's a punishment of Kares, Mamela, there's also Schar B'Hayalma, and that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Kares on these two mitzvahs. Otherwise, it would not be a zechus for us the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, weiter. I once heard also in the name of Asher Weiss that Kof Aleim Har Kegigis was also basically this story of Bahade Didole Reisha Mamaya. As you raise your head up from the water, they put a pail of cement on your head. In other words, Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, you're leaving Mitzrayim, but don't think you're going free. Look up. The pail of cement is over your head. Okay. So Gemara says, Amar le Rav Papa the Rava. Rav Papa said to Rava, Chazi mar hani debe Papa bar Abba. Did the master see those are the house of Papa bar Abba? In the house of Papa bar Abba, the Yavu Zuzel Inche Lechaga, they would give money to the tax collector for the head tax. So they would pay money for people for their head tax. So basically, in the house of Rava, they would pay for people's head tax. And once they pay head tax, they would basically be purchasing the rights to hold these people as slaves. Now, wait a second. Would you actually be purchasing these avodim as slaves? Because, let's think for a moment, are you buying them as slaves, or you're just buying rights to their work? In other words, let's think for a moment. Could a guy own another guy in terms of kinyan agof? No. So these goyim were not, there's no lien on them like kinyan agof. It was just a lien on them for their labor. Now when the house of Papa Bar Abba would pay for their taxes, they're not really buying their guf, they're just buying their labor. And that, so the shaila is, kinafki, when they go free, tzrichi gita de Jerusalem, do they need a get, do they need a document of freedom or not? Usually when you buy an eved, so a Jew, when he buys an eved, and the eved is toivel, l'shem avdos, you own their guf, and for them to leave, you need to give them a get cheros. However, in this case, you don't own their guf, because the guy never owned their guf, and they were never toivel. So the question is, if you want to free them, do they need to get a cheros? Or do we say, even though a guy can't own another guy, but since dina demachusa dina, since the law of the land is, you do own them. Look at Toysis. Kinafki tzricha gita harusai lav. Second Toysis. Misafka lo'lei idina demachusa dina ilai. Do we say dina demachusa dina or not? Aye. You're not koina the guf. Here, because of dina demachusa dina, you're koina. Or do we say no? You're only koina the eve lamasa yadav. And therefore, you could just let them go free without giving them a get cheros. Says the Gemara, Amar, so Rava said, Iku shechivi loy amri l'chu hamilsa. If I would have died, I would not have been able to tell you this. Which is always a powerful thought. That's true. If somebody would die, they wouldn't have been able to do what they just did. But Rava felt this was such an important teaching. He's enunciating the fact that if he would have died, he wouldn't have been able to say this thing. Hachi Amar Rav Sheza. Rav Sheza said about this. Mahar kayu dahani, the seal of servitude of these, betavsa d'malka manach, lies in the king, in the king's chest. In other words, the obligation and the subservience of these avodim lies in the king's chest, meaning the king owns these people, the gufai, and therefore Malki Yomer, the king says, Mandal Yav Karga, someone who doesn't pay the head tax, Mishtabed Lamandal Yav Karga, is Meshubah to the one who does pay the head tax. In other words, the Gemara is saying, Dina de Machusa Dina, the king owes these people, the gufam, and therefore if you pay for them, you get to own them as well. Weiter. Rav Chiya bar Abba ikla legavla. Rav Chiya bar Abba visited Gavla. Chaza benois Israel. He saw Jewish girls, the ma'abron migerim, that they were impregnated by converts. Shamolu v'loy tavu. These converts had circumcision and not immersion. They had circumcision and they didn't go to the mikvah. So is this a good geris? Is this not a good geris? In other words, the father were sort of goyim. They were gerim that didn't have a full conversion. That's one strange thing he saw. Item number two. He saw the wine of a Jew that was poured by a guy and Jews drank it. And number three. He saw beans. These are a tough kind of bean that it takes a very long time for it to cook. And it was cooked by goyim and Jews were eating it. Rav Chiya bar Abba didn't say anything. But also, when he came before Rabbi Yochanan and he reported to Rabbi Yochanan, what he saw, Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan said, go proclaim that the children of such a union are mamzerim. Number two, go proclaim that their wine is yayin nesach. And about the beans, it's considered something cooked by a guy. Why? Why is it considered something cooked by a guy? because the people of Gavla are not learned. So now the Gemara explains. Al b'neyin she'mam zeirin, you proclaim about the children that they're mamzerin. Rabbi Yochanan latame. Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his own reasoning. The Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said the name Rabbi Yochanan. La oilam ein ger ad shayimo v'yidbal. Really, you're not a ger until you have a mila and tefila. And here you didn't have tefila. V'kimin lo ital kachamu since you didn't go to the mikvah. He's a guy. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan. Oy ve'kicham ve'evan abba v'as yisrael ablad mamzer. So the reason why Rabbi Yochanan said that the children are mamzerim is, number one, they didn't do tefillah, so it's not a good gerah, so they're goyim, and oivikacham ha-ba'al basis al a mamzer. Regarding yayin nesach, v'al yeno mishum yayin nesach, mishum, why is it yayin nesach? L'chayra, the guy never poured it, the guy just poured water into it. So it's not really yayin nesach. No, but it's a siyag. Lech lech amrin naziro. We say, go away to the nazar. Schar schar lecharmel lecharmel. Go around, circumvent the vineyard. Don't come close. Even though there's no iser for a nazir to go into a vineyard. But we say it to him as a siyag. So likewise over here, this is a siyag for yayin nesach. And the altar mas and mishal mishulei of kachavim, we say about these beans that it's bishal akam lefisha enon b'nei taira. They are not learned, and therefore they may get confused with other items, and therefore we answer that it's bishal akam. In fact, the Gemara ha b'nei taira shari, but if they would be learned, it would be mutter. V'amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak mishnei d'Rav. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak said the name of Rav kol hanechal k'mayshu chai. Anything that can be eaten raw in by mishum mishulei b'kachavim is not subject to bishul akum, meaning something that can be eaten raw and a guy cooks is not bishul akum. But tormis cannot be eaten raw. But tormis in a nechagumai shulchaya. Tormis cannot be eaten raw. V'yesh by mishum mishulei b'kachavim. And there is bishul akum. So why do we say it's only bishul akum? Because they're not b'nei Torah. But that implies what? That if they would be b'nei Torah, it would be mutter, but it's classic bishul akum. Says Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ki'idach lishna sfirale. Rabbi Yochanan holds of a different version of what Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, namely, Dam Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak mishmei derav, kol she'ein oila al shulchan melacha melacha b'ayis apas, anything that's not fit to serve at a table of kings, to be something that accompanies bread, ein bo mishum bishul akum, is not subject to bishul akum. And therefore, turmasin are not subject, they're not really a chash of a food to be eaten with bread on a table of kings. So if they would be b'nei Torah, we would say it's not bishul akum. Let's replace the battery. But because the time they're in b'nei Torah, it's because they're not b'nei Torah. Ha b'nei Torah shari. But if they would be b'nei Torah, it would be mutter. But because they're not b'nei Torah, and they're going to get confused, therefore we have to answer it. Fine. Final stretch. Tana Rabbana, the rabbis taught. Ger shemal v'lo itaval. Ger that circumcised and didn't go to the mikvah. Rav Lezer oimer areza ger. It's a good ger. Because when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they did Mila, they didn't do Tefila, and it's a good Geiros. Shekein Matzinu Ba'avo Yisenu, Shemalu V'lei Tavlu, we find by our forefathers. They did Mila, they didn't do Tefila, and it was a good Geiros. Taval V'lei Mal, but if they did Tefila and they didn't do Mila, Rabbi Shua Aymer, Arez Ager. Rabbi Shua says it's a Ger, because the Imahais who left Mitzrayim, they did Tefila, they didn't do Mila. And now how do we know they left, they did a tefillah? We'll have to see. So they did a milah, not a tefillah. The men who left Mitzrayim, they did milah, not tefillah. The women did tefillah, and they didn't do milah. The chachamim, the rabbis say, tavav le'mav le'tavav, in ger, ad she'imav v'yitbal. If you did tefillah, not milah, milah, not tefillah, it's not a ger, until you did milah and tefillah. Fine. Why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua learn out from the Avais? That Malvoloi Taval works. Why doesn't Rabbi Lezer learn from the Imais that Tviloi Milo works? And if you're going to say Rabbi Lezer is not going to learn out from the Imahois that Tvilo without Milo works, because Shkoyach, by the Imais, it's not Shaykh to do Mila, as opposed to by a man where it's Shaykh, so maybe Ein Lamedin Efshur Mishi Efshur, V'chitema Ein Don and Efshur Mishi Efshur. No, we know Rabbi Lezer is Don Efshur Mishi Efshur. But Tani, we learned in a brayso, Rabbi Lezer, Oimer, Minayin LePesach Doirosh Ein Bo Elam Anachulin. How do I know the Pesach, the Karm Pesach, after the first year, could only come from Chulin, and it cannot come from Meiser Sheni, and it cannot come from something which is Hektish. How do I know? Pesach Doiros only comes from Chulin. So Rabbi Lezer says, Nemra b'Pesach Mitzrayim. It says Pesach by Mitzrayim, and it says Pesach b'Doiros. Ma Pesach Omer b'Mitzrayim in by Ela min Chulin. Just like Pesach that says by Mitzrayim only comes from Chulin, Av Pesach Omer l'Doiros in by Ela min Chulin. So Rabbi Kiva says, what are you talking about? Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no such thing as Meiser Sheni yet. So of course, it was only Chulin. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Chidon and Efshar Mishi Efshar. How can you learn out Pesach Doiros from Pesach Mitzrayim? Pesach Mitzrayim was Efshar. Pesach Doiros is Efshar. But Rabbi Lezer says, no. Even though Pesach Mitzrayim is Efshar, but Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that anything that is a source, the first time something happens, it doesn't matter whether it's Efshar or Efshar. So Rabbi Lezer holds that it doesn't matter if the women who left Mitzrayim, they could do tefillah and they can't do mila. But that's the first gerus in history. And therefore anything that serves as a model as the first, you could learn out from, despite the fact that in that case there was no alternative. So too, and that's learned from the fact that we could learn out Pesach Doiros from Pesach Mitzrayim. So why can't we learn out, Rabbi Lezer, that Mol V'loy Taval is good, just like Shekein Motzinu B'imois She Taval V'loy Mol. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we'll hold it over here. Thank you especially to Rav Nosson for coming tonight. And we will try to get in one limud on Chol HaMoed, Mem Vav HaMaveis. And wishing everyone a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.